Well, good morning, everyone. So good to be here, be a part of all that God is doing and such a presence of God in this house. And the communion was so, so special today for me. As I was praying this morning, Pastor, I was praying about communion and just asking God the same thing. Make this special for me. You know, we can get into the routine of being servants. We can get into the routine of just being children of God, but God has so, so, so much more that He wants to give us, and we just have to come humbly to Him and to His table and receive from Him. He is such a giving, loving God. Anyway, we'll talk more about that in a minute. Just so you know, you've heard my story from Pastor, but just when Donna and I were in ministry, we've been in ministry since 1971, or about 50 years of ministry. And my wife knew that 6 years ago God had called us to the mission field, but I guess I didn't listen to him or her. But we know that these last 6 years have been a preparation time for us. So we're excited. We have a heart for the next generation of leaders and pastors, next generation of the church, because we are deeply, deeply in love with God's church. And we see the church maybe in a light that other people don't. And right now, the church is not in decline in the sense of its love for the Lord, but it's in decline of its fervency. It's in commitment to the things of God. And we feel God has really put it in our heart that we're going to work with the next generation of leaders. We feel like He has called us to Argentina, where there's a fabulous ministry there with Juan Carlos Masevich. And he and I have known each other for over 20 years. So we're excited about being together with him there in Argentina, working with not only the Bible school, but over 60 congregations that he has there in Argentina, but also the over 400 that he has around South America, Central America, different places. So we're excited about that. So retirement, I'm not sure what that means. My wife is trying to convince me that that's the best thing for me, is not to ever figure it out, because she thinks I'll drive her crazy. And I would go crazy. So that's probably absolutely true. So we are, I don't know of another word for it, but we're just still going. And we're glad to be a part of this church and a part of all of Grace International and all that it's doing. We're excited. I was just asking the Lord, I really battled about what to talk about today, but the worship, Serena, just really confirmed everything that God's been putting in my heart. So I'm about ready to sit down and just let you get back up here and do what you were doing. Because I'm telling you, the new year for the church, this church and every church, is going to be an exciting year if we do what the Word tells us to do. I've, for lack of a better title to a message, I've called this one A Bag of Rocks. And I couldn't figure out any other title to give it. And I've been praying for several days. And this morning when I woke up, I told God when I went to bed last night, God, I know what you're telling me, but a title is something that you kind of centralize around. And I said, I have no idea what you're trying to do. You give me all this information. And this morning I woke up, he said, just call it A Bag of Rocks. Because I think sometimes when we think about the Lord, we think about what He's doing. We think about, oh, by the way, I can't see that clock back there, so if you'll tell me when it's time, Ed, just give me a say. Like, that's what Donna does all the time. She, shut up, because she knows I'll keep talking. So just tell me when it's time, and I'll quit, okay? I love Pastor Ed and his family. Known him for a long time. Just to be here in this place to worship together and to be a part of what you're doing is such an honor, and I just honor your pastor and his family and all that they do. My gracious, throughout Grace International, they're awesome, and just a family that leads the way in what it means to raise up the next generation. So just, it's such a wonderful, this is, since we've retired, this is our first church to be in, so I'm excited, just like my ministry. Anyway, A Bag of Rocks. When the reason that I think God is trying to do this with me is He's teaching me to do something, and that is to really trust beyond what I normally trust. How many of you know that we have levels of trust? And our levels of trust are based on Do you ever stop to think about what they're based on? Levels of trust for some people are based on past experience. You know, I did this, I learned this, so I can trust. Well, what I'm doing is I'm basing my trust on my past experience. Some people base their trust on words of prophecy or different things of that nature. And so if you base your trust on that, then you've based your trust on something that can be God, but yet you have to flesh out and figure out what all God's trying to say sometimes. When I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, I was going to title it, Bring a Rock to a Sword Fight. Because you know the story of David and all that. So I thought about that a little bit. I got to listening. I looked at some idioms that are in that we know. How many of you know that we all have these things that we say that we expect people to understand? You know, like back against the wall, up in arms. I'm up in arms about angry about something. Bending over backwards. Bring a knife to a gunfight. There's so many things, and every one of those things have a meaning if you understand what the meaning is behind them. And you can say, okay, I know if I bring a knife to a gunfight, I'm coming poorly prepared for something. I thought it was interesting. Let me read just a few of global neighbors. In Armenia, stop ironing my board. It means stop bothering me. In French, when chickens have teeth, means something never going to happen. Also in France, I have other cats to whip. Yeah, it's pretty common. I have other things to do. In German, to tie a bear to someone means you've tricked them. I'm just reading, okay? In Italy, not all donuts come with a hole. Means you don't always get what you want. How many of you love donut holes? See, if you love donut holes, that means something to you. Not every donut comes with a hole. In Japan, my cheeks are falling off. Means the food's really delicious. Also in Japan, to have dumplings instead of flowers. Well, I know you women are excited about that. Means you've chosen something useful over something decorative. In Polish, mustard after lunch. This one I didn't get. Means it's too late to do something. You know, how many of you love hot dogs? You know, if you get mustard after lunch, it makes sense, doesn't it? See, idioms make sense once you understand what's behind them. So if I go to Poland and they say you're going to have mustard after lunch, that means it's too late. Sorry. I'm just reading. There's a Portuguese one. Take your little horse away from the fan, from the rain. Take your little horse away from the fan. I'm sorry, from the rain. Means something is never going to happen. Idioms, don't you just feel like when you stop and listen to some of these things, you think, this is crazy. What in the world would anybody put all the... But we do it all the time. And we do it... So when you think about David coming, bringing a rock to a sword fight, it makes perfect sense. And I was asking God, show me how to illustrate this. And he didn't show me until I was sitting over there a while ago. And I wish he'd shown it to me earlier. But I want you to picture in your mind a bag of rocks. What it would be like if I walked in here today, came up on the stage, I had a bag of rocks, and I set those rocks down, clanged them on the podium, and I said, this is our message today. I'm going to have every one of you come up here and pull out a rock. You'd think, well, okay. Some of you think I'm going to throw it at him, But when you think about David going into battle with Goliath, we need to really understand a little bit about what David is saying, because it really is silly to think about David bringing a rock to a sword fight because of what's going on in the life of David and Israel. What God is trying to get across here, what God wants to show us, is that if you understand what I'm doing, how many of you know it's hard to understand God sometimes? When he asked his disciples, he said, asked Peter, he said, who do people say that I am? If I were to ask you to just take 5 minutes and walk around the room and have people tell you who they think God really is, who Jesus is, who Holy Spirit is, we would all get similar answers, but they would usually be church answers. Huh? Because we learn to grow up and say the things that they say in church. Because we use those all the time. Have you ever noticed how some of the church answers don't always work? You can say the same words that everybody else in church is saying, but it just doesn't seem like it has any impact. So people get discouraged. So in reality, what's happening in our lives, every one of us are facing some issues, some situations in our lives, every day of our lives, that we need to be able to understand that God has something bigger for us and loves us in such a fashion that He has a winning plan for our lives over every situation. But just like the disciples, just like Peter, he asked us the question. Then to Peter, he said, but who do you say that I am? See, because when I understand who He really is, Casting Crowns, I think it was in 2016. I wrote it down, but I think it's in 2016. They had a song that is entitled, Oh My Soul. That song is actually coming back out. I heard it on the radio some time back, and I listened to it very, very carefully. And one part of that is about fear and what happens in our lives when fear creeps in. Mark Hall, the man that wrote that, the day that song was written was the day that he found out that he had kidney cancer. And he said he was sitting at his piano and he was just thinking about what God is going on in my life. But he wrote this song, and one part of it is very, very, has stuck in me, and I don't understand why, other than the fact that God is saying, I want my people to hear this. Here's what he said. He said, someday, sometime, fear has to face the God you know. I thought about that. The God I know. Is it the church God? Is it the TV God? Is it what everybody tells me about God? Or is it the God I know? See, because the God I know I'll be seeing things that you don't see. I'll be hearing things that you don't hear. I'll be seeing things accomplished that you might not see accomplished. You know why? Because I'm basing what I'm doing on the God that I know. The God that loves us all dearly. And the thing is, as we grow over a period of time, we understand that what God really wants us to see and what God really wants us to do is to grab hold of who He really is in our lives. And we can face everything that comes our way this weekend. But this year, just we heard this morning. But here's what God is trying to say to us. He wants us to be able to realize that out of all the things that He's doing in our lives, He has a plan for our victory. There's so many things as we look at the Scriptures and we realize that God in all of creation has looked down on us and said, here's what I really, really, really have for you to do. I want you to hear some things with me that are pertinent to this, because you all know the story about David and Goliath. You know the background of what was going on. But how many of you would stop to really remember in your mind that when David fought Goliath, he had already been anointed king? And see, here's the thing that we don't realize. See, when you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ, there was an anointing that came with that. There was a Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost power that came with it. In addition to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I understand that, I believe it. But every person who has the Holy Spirit through salvation has within them the ability to know God in a deeper way than anybody else does. Because when you have Holy Spirit inside of you, Holy Spirit is saying to you, here's what God does. He points at situations and circumstances and says, here is what God's got for you in your life. So when I set a bag of rocks down up here, wouldn't it be interesting, and I'm going to go here in just a minute, but wouldn't it be interesting when you heard that thing clang, you said, wow, God's got something for me. See, when you leave here today, I want you to understand that God's got something for you, because every one of us are not only facing problems and situations now. I faced my own a few years ago, about 6 years ago. I was under the sink working and helping, redoing something under the sink for my wife. And I laid under the sink, and when I laid there, I messed up my back here, and I didn't know what it was. And for about 3 days, I was in great pain. They finally made me go to the emergency room. I'd had a blood clot. I didn't know laying on under the sink could give you a blood clot, but I had a blood clot. Well, I went to the doctor. After a while, that all went away. The pain left. But during the process of that, they found out I had prostate cancer. Okay. Now, I'm a man of faith. Great faith. Prayed, seen many, many miracles. I didn't get well. I was in my shower one day and getting ready to go to work during the treatments, and I just couldn't get above it. I mean, you ever have those situations you can't get on top of it? You just can't figure out what in the world is going on. I know the right things to say. I know what, you know, and you go, because you've been in, I mean, if you've been in church all your life, you know that. But if you hadn't been in church all your life, you know what other people say. So what God is saying is, you may not know me as well as you think you do. I didn't. I've been in ministry since 1971, and I didn't know God like I thought I knew him, because I'd seen the miraculous. I'd seen miraculous healings. I didn't get it. So I was driving to work one day. I'd been praying and doing the best I could to pray and just grumpy. You ever could get grumpy? And I guess I was probably a little bit grumpy with God. And I heard God say something. He said, "Here's your giant." I'm driving to work. He said, "Well, what is?" I said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Depression." I'd never been depressed a day in my life. But I was living in depression, trying to do what God wanted me to do, facing that depression every day. Didn't even know it was there, but I knew the symptoms. I've counseled people for a long time. I understood the symptoms, but I didn't see it in me. But the thing was, what God was saying was, "Billy, I want you to understand something. Everybody in this world can have these situations happen in their life. Problem is, first of all, you need to know your God. Secondly, you need to know your problem. Because see, if I know my God, whatever problem comes my way, I can handle it. But I've got to know my God first." There's so many things in this story of David. We don't have time to go into them, but I want to show you something that I think will really help us to understand this bag of rocks thing. When David is confronted, when he sees what's going on in his life, because I mean, he's a part of Israel. So if Goliath won, David loses. The whole nation loses. Everybody loses if Goliath wins. So here's the problem. David, anointed king, is putting his anointing on the line when nobody else is willing to do anything about it. The reason he was, if you read the scripture very carefully, is because he knew the outcome. Now wait a minute, you didn't hear me. The reason David was so successful was he knew the outcome before he faced the giant. Now here's the problem that we have. If we understand that the giants are always going to be there, they're always going to be problems, financial problems, family problems, health problems, situations, issues. Oh, by the way, I didn't tell you, but after that prostate cancer, then I had both knees replaced because I couldn't walk. 4 years. 4 years. But here's the thing. When I understand what God is doing, I learn through the hard times more about God than I did when I was walking in such a hallelujah. See, we look at our bad times, we look at the hard times, and we think the hard times are really there against us. But like David said, I've fought the lion, I've fought the bear. My God has brought me through all of that. See, our experiences become the reality that we stand on when we are faced with them and we take them to God. Now, your reality can be a negative one if you faced the world with yourself or if you faced it with God. See, David knew he could win. So Saul said, "Here, use the armor." David said, "I can't do it. Hadn't tried it. Doesn't work." See, we're all individuals. There are some things that we need to all do and all know, but we're all individuals. We know what works for us. People say, you're 74 years old, almost 75, and you're going to Argentina. It works for me. It may not work for you. It works for my wife. She's 73, just turned 73. It works for us. But here's the thing. When we understand, like David, God has brought us victory after victory after victory. And now David is coming and saying, I'm going to fight this giant. I'm going to fight him and I am going to win. I don't care what he thinks. I don't care what problem I'm facing or you're facing. If we understand the God of the solution, then we have the victory already. That's where David was. You know the story. He takes off and here comes, and Goliath looks at him. And when Goliath sees him, he sees this good-looking young man. I thought it's quite interesting. When you go back to Samuel, he saw the same man. Do you remember the story? He was a good-looking kid. Young. Goliath saw the same thing God saw. Are you not hearing me? God showed him to Samuel. Saul saw him the same way. Church, we have to understand something. When God makes us a promise, he sees it, and so does the enemy. He knows you. God knows you. The enemy says, I know how to get them. Come on, David. Come on, David. I'll kill you. I'll wipe up the platform. I'll do it. What does David say? You come to me with a sword, but I'm coming to you in the name of what?
The Lord.
The Lord? See, he took his shepherd's staff and picked up his 5 smooth stones from the stream and put them in his bag with his sling ready, and he went to meet Goliath. David said, you're coming against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Listen to this. The God of the Israelite armies, which you have defied. This very day, the Lord will put you, what does it say? In my power. I will defeat you and cut off your head, and I will give the bodies of the Philistine soldiers to the birds and the animals to eat. Then the whole world will know that Israel has a God. Amen. Who's the God you know? Who's the God that you really know that when fear comes, fear faces your God? When depression comes, he faces the God you know that is over depression. When situations come in families, he faces the God that you know that loves family and established family. When God comes to you, when the enemy comes to you and says you are too bad, what God do you know? Do you know the one that says, I don't care how bad you are, I am badder, and I can take care of you, I can do everything that needs to be done. You can be free of your sin, you can be free from all of that junk. What God do I know? See, when David got ready to kill Goliath, he reached in the stream, and when he saw Goliath, when he saw it, he picked up 5 stones. Here's the point of the message. When David reached into that bag, he didn't see the stone, but he pulled out a promise. The next time I do this message, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a bag of rocks, but I'm going to have mixed in that bag of rocks, I'm going to have some scriptures, some promises. Because I can reach in and pull out any one of those promises and it will meet somebody in this room.
Amen. Amen.
And I can read that promise. Now the key is, do you believe the promise? If you believe the God who made the promise, then you can believe the promise.
Yes, yes.
Which God do you know? Do you know the God that says, I can do all things, that you can do all things through me? Do you know the God that says when you're faithful in your giving, I'm faithful to bless you? Do you know the God that says when you're having difficulty, that God says it's better for you to work, so I'm going to help you get a job? See, do you know that God? Because if you know Him, then your trust is in Him and in the promise. And you began to throw the promise at the problem.
Praise God. That's good.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You throw the promise with your mouth, with your heart. You begin to declare, thus says the Lord. In the name of Jesus, depression go. In the name of Jesus, sickness go. In the name of Jesus, poverty go. You say, that sounds so simple. It is. Now, God may work it out some way. Sometimes He does things instantly. Sometimes He does things over a period of time. But when we declare what He says, we open the possibility for Him to move in our lives. That's my God. That's the God I serve. That's the God David served. When he faced Goliath, he took what he knew. The only thing he added was a stone out of a brook, a promise out of the Holy Spirit. And he threw it at Goliath. Bam! Problem's under control. When we begin to declare what God says, the problem is out of my hands, it's in His hands. Father, help us to reach into the bag of promises that You've given us through the Holy Spirit and be glorified as we begin to believe it and declare it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Billy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amen.